The contracting world is competitive, to say the least. Contractors can be tempted to overlook certain bid specs to get ahead of the competition. But details like security clearances and other personnel qualifications are crucial. So it's a big mistake to think the government isn't paying attention. Two companies recently learned that lesson the hard way. Larry Allen is the president of Allen Federal Business Partners. He reminds services contractors of some key basics.
You have to make sure that you're providing people with the right credentials, the right qualifications, and if they're performing work on a secure contract, that they have the right security credentials as well. We know that there's a lot of temptation, a lot of pressure on contractors, particularly in a low-price, technical, acceptable government market, to bid people who meet the financial expectations of the client but may not have the credentials. Well, a couple of companies have learned the hard way that you can't cut corners.
Because you can't bill the government for a given qualification and then substitute someone that doesn't have those qualifications. It gets pretty picky, doesn't it?
It does. People get very picky in the government, and understandably so. If you're going to bill and offer a systems engineer 3 as the advanced person with lots of experience, you'd better give them a systems engineer 3 through the contract and not 9 months into it swap them out for a systems engineer 1. The government wants to get the services that it's paying for. Similarly, we had a recent case where a company was fined a substantial amount of money, over $11 million, for providing workers that didn't have proper security credentials. And I think there's a rush to bid people. There's a rush to get the contract awarded to your company. We trust our people, right? Even though they might not have the same credentials on paper, they're trustworthy, we think. Bid them, win the contract, and then it blows up in your face when the government finds out that you were using non-cleared people on a piece of classified work. That's a real problem, Tom, and it's not just a problem because you tried to cut corners. You owe the government a lot of money back. In case of this one company that was a small business, you owe them $11 million. Plus, you have to pay your attorney's fees and any outside witnesses or other people that worked on it. And your reputation has taken a major hit. It's taken a major hit in a relatively small market segment, so that you are going to find it that much more difficult to do future work with a prime contractor or as a prime contractor yourself, because you now have this mark against you.
And also, you could face prosecution if the government decides you are guilty of violating the False Claims Act by billing for people that you didn't really supply.
Well, in fact, that's part of what this $11 million fine is. It's an $11 million recovery under the civil version of the False Claims Act. But, you know, your question also alludes to the fact that, look, there are criminal provisions of the False Claims Act as well. And if you're a company that's offering security services with claiming that people have top secret or similar classifications, and you're providing people that don't have those, if the government can show that you acted with willful disregard, admittedly a high bar, to supply people who you knew didn't have those qualifications, you could face criminal penalties under the False Claims Act as well.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And switching gears for a moment, you give some praise this week to GSA's Enterprise GWAC division, Government-Wide Acquisition Contract Division. How are they getting it right these days?
This part of GSA, Tom, is the one that brings you the Alliant contract and some of the other very popular GWACs that GSA puts out for IT professional services. And one of the things that really makes them stand out in my mind is that they do a great job of communicating not just with their federal customers, but also with their contractors. They communicate frequently and in the classic sense of the word, i.e., it's a real communication, not just a series of statements about, here's what GSA is going to do either to or for you, depending on your viewpoint. Specifically, the GWAC division has the Staying Connected newsletter that goes out frequently, and it talks about things that are of interest to both contractors and to government customers. You know, how do you use these contracts correctly? What are some of the new features of these contracts? Companies, if you're having a hard time getting marketing and sales traction, here are some tips for you. Just a real neat way to communicate. Newsletters, Tom, aren't new. But when they're done correctly, they can be an important communication tool. And the GWAC division, in fact, goes beyond the newsletter to face-to-face meetings all over the country, wherever there is a need to discuss what the Alliant GWAC or Enterprise GWAC division does inside of GSA, how it operates. Casey Kelly and his team are always active participants in the federal IT community. So I thought it was time to talk about a government agency, particularly inside GSA, where that agency comes in for frequent criticism. This part of GSA, the Enterprise GWAC division, gets it right.
And that gets to something else that you mentioned, too, and that is the idea of face-to-face meetings, even in an age of conference calls, God forbid, or video conferencing, which can be good or bad depending on the technology. There's really nothing like face-to-face.
There really isn't. You know, we've seen some of the things in the trade press that in the future you won't need to get together with the people that you want to talk with. Well, unless the people you're talking with aren't really people, Tom, like droids, I'm not sure that's accurate. Government business is inherently a people business. There are two parts to being a successful contractor. You have to have the knowledge of the specific processes, but you also have to have the knowledge of the personal relationships that you're interacting with people. So you've got to invest time in face-to-face discussions with your contracting officer, with your end-user customer, with whoever else in the agency that is on your target list to talk to. Emails, phone calls, video conferences can all be used as tools to help you drive business, but there really is no substitute for being in the same room with someone and making a personal connection.
And given the season on personal connections, given the fact that there are some people that are new to the market, perhaps, and don't know what some of the rules and etiquettes are that the old timers might know, if you go to a federal office at this time of year, it's not like a drug salesman going to a doctor's office where you can bring a big plate of bagels and lox. Federal agencies leave it all home and just, you know, at the most you can maybe leave them with is a freebie pen or pencil.
Well, that's exactly right. In the federal market, Tom, many an initial good discussion, many a well-intentioned sales call has ended really poorly because the contractor representative doesn't know the gift rules. And as you alluded to, look, no matter what the gift rules say, the safest piece of advice is leave your cheese tray back at the office, take it to a commercial customer, drop it off at the local school. Just don't take it to your federal customer, because giving gifts or even having the appearance of showing some sort of favoritism can get not just you in trouble, but the person you're trying to work with inside the government in trouble, and that's no way to be successful.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Share this interview with your colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.